In the book of Romans, chapter number 4, verse number 13, I want to preach on this subject tonight, the power of hoping against hope. The power of hoping against hope. I think that this will be an encouragement as we kind of peer into a brand new year, the power of hoping against hope. Romans chapter 4, verse number 13, if you're able, if you'll stand with us for the reading of the Bible, Romans 4, 13. Bible says this, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. What a statement. Think about that, folks. Who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that this would be a great truth, dear God. Here we are. Very last Sunday night, Lord, the very last sermon that will be preached from a pulpit in 2024. And Lord, I think we're going to just present one main truth tonight. And I hope it will help. Lord, everybody's life here is different and everybody's circumstances varies. But Lord, thank you that we can take the promises of the Bible and apply them to our unique situations. I pray, Lord, that we will find some hope tonight. And Lord, we will learn what it is to hope against hope. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Abraham was a young man in his prime when God first appeared to him way back in Genesis chapter 12. Life was full of promise. Think about this. The future was bright. Everything and anything seemed possible. To this young man, who at that time was called Abram, God made a promise. Let me read it to you. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. That's the promise. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So what did Abraham do? He obeyed God. He trusted in this promise. And with his young bride, Sarai, they stepped out by faith, believing that God would bless their marriage with fruitfulness and purpose. You know why? Because God had promised to make of him a great nation. Wait a minute. Years passed. Sarai remains barren. The faith of Abraham and his wife is being tested. Had God really meant what he had said? Had he misunderstood the promise of God? Abraham ages and eventually turns 99, and Sarai, 89, old age now, has made the promise seemingly impossible. What they had once both hoped for, you think about that, hoped for now seemed hopeless. Yet God once again appears to Abraham now in Genesis chapter 17. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Lord, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generation for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed forever. And he repeats the same promise. I'm going to make from you a great nations. And now he's even expanded that and uses the plural since nations. And Abraham is 99. And Sarah now is 89. And Abraham laughed and Sarah laughed, but God didn't laugh. You see, now was the test. Think about this, folks. Would Abraham become the father of the faithful or just another example of faithfulness? Would he still believe? Would Abraham just hope or be willing to hope against hopelessness? I mean, come on. Was Abraham a noonday Christian or a midnight Christian? Would Abraham stagger at the promise or stand on the promise? Would Abraham's faith be a strong faith that, by the way, be forever, shine as a spotlight on the glory of God, or a weak faith that can believe God at 40 years of age but can't believe God at 99 years of age? Think about that. Romans chapter 4 gives us the answer. Who against hope believed in hope? That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. What was this? This faith that is designed as hoping against hopelessness. Let's kind of boil the story down to its essence, okay? God gave Abraham a promise. Abraham placed his hope in that promise. The time came when God's promise seemed hopeless. Abraham chose to hope, continue to hope in a seemingly hopeless situation. By the way, when God saw that level of faith, he honored his faith with a miracle. You know, think about this, folks. You say, preacher, was Abraham's faith rewarded? Tell us the end of the story. I think most of you know it, but in Genesis 21, the Bible says, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. By the way, was his hope in the face of hopelessness rewarded? Yes, it was. And by the way, it wasn't even counted as faith when it would have been easy. It was counted as faith when it seemed impossible. Amen. And we see, by the way, we could take some time here. I'm not going to go long tonight. But folks, we could see this pattern repeated over and over in the Word of God. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, it seems like every man and woman of faith became a man or woman of faith the same way. No one's elected into Hebrews chapter 11 in the hall of faith by just exercising what I'm going to call cheap faith. It was never easy. It always seemed impossible. And yes, those folks decided to hope in a hopeless situation, to have faith when it seemed something was impossible. And because of that, you know what? They qualified themselves to be listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Let me just give you maybe another example. Let's look at Brother Noah. Genesis 6:13, I'll read the verses to you. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch, for this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. And then he lays out the floor plan for the ark. Now think about this, folks. God came to a man and said, I'm done. and I'm going to cause rain. And it had never rained before. And you need to make a boat because it's going to be a big rain. And I'm going to destroy the entire earth except those that get on the ark. Now, Noah, get to building a boat. Now, think about that. Noah obeyed God. Now, think about this, though. Let's be reminded of the timeline here. What we sometimes forget is the time frame of that period of obedience. The Bible tells us that it took Noah 120 years to finish the ark. That's a long time. You know why? Because it was a big boat. Now, here is something you may not have considered. There's absolutely no biblical evidence that God appeared again to Noah until the ark was finished 120 years later. Now, think about that. So he has God appear to him. He said, this is the instruction. And so get busy. And when it's completed, I'll come back and see you. But 120 years seems like an awful long time. Folks, a lot can happen in 120 years. People are born, people die, life goes on. People marry and are given in marriage, we're told that. Scoffers come and go, wickedness rules and reigns, and men seem unaffected. The work is hard, the work is hard. The sacrifice is tiring. And I think, don't you think at times Noah sat down at the end of the day and looked at a half-built boat and think, God, where are you? And did I misunderstand you? And what was that again about water falling from heaven? And how exactly is this going to work out? But you know what, folks? He was faithful. Think about 20 years out, he's still faithful. 40 years out, he hasn't seen what God predicted happen yet, and yet he's faithful. 60 years out from God's proclamation and instruction and promise, he's still faithful. At the 100th year anniversary, think about that, it comes and it goes, and he's still faithful. Maybe you think his family, his boys never questioned him. Come on, they were human. Think about this. You think maybe him and his wife never sat down and had a discussion about it? And honey, tell me again, and are you sure? Think Noah never dealt with the inner doubts, outward discouragement? You think he maybe got tired of being the one that everybody laughed at and mocked at? You think he got tired? The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. Imagine preaching 120 years and having nobody believe what you said except your own family. Think about that. And then in Genesis 6, verse 22, we read this, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And so we receive this testimony concerning Noah that, you know what? He just decided to hope against hope. What was seemingly a hopeless situation and one that only he seemed to believe in, you know what? God still had commanded and God still would honor. So let's again boil this story down to its essence. God gave Noah a mission. Noah placed his hope in that mission. The time came when God's mission seemed hopeless. Noah chose to hope in the hopelessness. Hope in the hopelessness. God honored his faith with the miracle. Folks, a lot of times it's easy for every one of us to get discouraged. Preacher, there's something I've been praying about for a long time. There's been something that I've hoped for a long time. There's been something that I think God put in my heart, and he's told me that eventually it's going to happen, but it didn't happen 2 years ago, and it didn't happen this year. And for some of us, it didn't happen 5 years ago, and it didn't happen 10 years ago. And preacher, what should I keep doing? What should I keep doing? I mean, what should I learn from what we're looking at tonight? How about this? Just keep hoping. How about this? Just keep trusting. How about this? Just keep obeying. How about this? Just keep exercising your faith. I don't care how impossible it seems. God is a God of the impossible. And it's amazing that God, I want to say this again, I think God does not honor with the miraculous cheap faith. Well, I'll believe God for a week, or I'll believe God for a month, or I'll believe God for a year. Preacher, I'll pray for this for a month, or I'll pray for this for 6 months, or I'll pray for this for a year. But you know what? If God, listen, stop putting God on a timetable. He doesn't work on our time. He works on his time. And you know what? I just wanted to come here at the beginning of a new year and say, you know what? Let's just keep hoping even in hopeless situations. I want you to think about this, and I want you to apply this to each and every one of your situation in your life. Preacher, there's some things that we're facing that, to be honest with you, it just seems like it's an impossible situation. Just stay faithful. But preacher, we've been praying about this for a long time. Just stay faithful. Preacher, this is something that's humanly impossible. Just stay faithful. Let me ask you this. Is it possible for a 99-year-old man and an 89-year-old woman to have a baby? But did it happen?
Yes.
All right. Then you know what? Maybe we ought to just put our faith in a God that's great enough to make the impossible happen. But preacher, it's big what we need. All right. Well, let me tell you something about God. He's big also. It seems impossible. Nothing's impossible with God. And so did God honor the hopeless hope, the midnight faith of Noah, those times of doubting, but still getting up when the alarm went off and going out and working one more day on the boat? Did he honor one more sermon of 120 years worth of sermons? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, by faith, folks, by faith, not cheap faith, by faith. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now think about this, folks. My goodness sake. Think about Moses. I mean, we could go on. You think about Moses and that encounter in the desert. You think about Moses and that burning bush experience. You think about God coming to him and saying, I'm going to use you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, folks, think about that. Moses raised in Pharaoh's home for 40 years, and then he has to flee for his life, and he's on the backside of the desert for 40 years. And while he's out there, God says, I'm going to send you back. And yet, you know what? We see all that he had to face and all that he had to overcome. And it seemed like he got there and he began to tell the children of Israel what's going to happen. They didn't believe him. And the more they start talking about it, the harder it got. And then they start blaming him for the hardships of their life. Are you getting this? God appeared to Moses with a great calling. His life up to this point had been marked with kind of disaster. He's hiding out on the backside of the desert, a wanted man for murdering an Egyptian in defense of a fellow Israelite. And despite his doubts, despite his fears, you know what? God did appear to him and God did tell him what was going to happen. And he heads towards Egypt to confront Pharaoh. Obstacles await. Pharaoh responds with increased persecution. The Israelites respond with rebellion towards his authority. Pharaoh hardens his heart over and over and over and over. He endures 9 national plagues and still refuses again and again to let God's people go. And don't you think at some point in this process, Moses is meeting back with God saying, are you sure about this? Is this going to work? Now, folks, again, I just want you to understand this. You know what? God wants to see faith. And he doesn't want to see cheap faith. And he doesn't want people that demand that he works on his timeline. He wants people that just trust him. And if he says it's going to happen, and if he says that there's an answer, and if he gives you peace in your heart about it, just trust him and just believe him. And you know what? It may take some time. But you think about, again, think about Moses. Let's boil it down, the story to its essence. God gave Moses a calling. Moses placed his hope in that calling. The time came when God's calling seemed hopeless. Moses chose to hope in the hopelessness of the situation, and God honored his faith with a miracle. Say, preacher, what is this sermon about? Why this sermon for the last Sunday of 2024? Folks, I want to remind you some things. Faith is not faith. Faith is not faith when the promise seems secure. Faith becomes faith when the promise seems unattainable. Faith is not faith when the mission is easy. Faith becomes faith when the mission is hard. Faith is not faith when your calling is unchallenged. Faith becomes faith when the calling is obstructed. Faith is not faith when the dream seems reachable. Faith becomes faith when the dream seems impossible. Faith is not faith when it is easy to hope. Faith becomes faith when it is hopeless, but when you refuse to stop hoping. So I hope as we launch into a new year, there's some things that you'll just decide to decide on the last Sunday night of 2024. Decide tonight that you're going to believe Almighty God. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you ought to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But decide that you're going to believe God and trust Him also as your Lord. Right. Trust the promises of the Bible. Decide to believe God. Number two, tonight I would ask you to decide that no set of circumstances, think about this, no set of circumstances, or no matter how hopeless a situation may seem or seem to become, just decide tonight that you will not turn away from your faith in God. No matter how hard it seems, no matter how impossible it seems, just keep believing God. I don't know what's going to happen in 2025, but I promise you, in almost every family and every Christian's life, something will happen that'll cause us to maybe want to doubt. You know, don't just decide now before it happens. No loss that I have to experience in 2025 is going to keep me from hoping, no matter if it seems hopeless or not. I'm going to keep my faith in God. No reversal, no persecution, no hardship. It doesn't matter. Whatever God asks me to face along the way, no matter how hopeless it seems at times, I'm just going to trust in God, and I'm going to stay faithful to Him. Number three, maybe we should decide tonight that to hope in what might seem a hopeless promise, persist in what might seem a hopeless mission, fulfill what might seem a hopeless calling, believe in a dream that seems to have become a hopeless dream. I don't know what you're facing, and I don't know who this is for. I think I know why God needed me to be reminded of it. So I decided I'm going to apply it to that area of my life. But no matter what you're facing, and preacher, it just seems like I've prayed and I've trusted and I've fought and it seemed like it was going to happen, and then it didn't, and it seemed like I was going forward and then we went backwards. Folks, listen to me. God is still God. His promises are still true. And you know what? He's already got 2025 covered. He's already there. And so let's just decide that we're going to trust the Lord. Listen to me, and I'm done. Not with cheap faith, but the kind of faith that stays steadfast in God, even when it seems what we have faith in seems impossible. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we've experienced a lot of things tonight, and we've been so blessed. Thank you for the children, how they blessed us. Thank you again for, Lord, the beautiful cantata and the reminder of what you did when you sent Jesus Christ, your Son. And Lord, now as we close out another year, I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us. Every year there's something that's unfulfilled. Every year there's something that we've trusted you for that we have not yet received. Every year there's some hope that seems like perhaps with the passing of time becomes even more hopeless. Lord, thank you for the example of Abraham, who decided he was going to believe you even though it seemed like it was a hopeless, impossible situation. And Lord, thank you for Noah and for him just saying, if God said to do this and that's the last marching orders, we're just going to keep doing it, and we're just going to trust him and his plan. And Lord, we think about Moses, and boy, we could visit so many other characters in the Bible. I think about Joseph, who had that dream as a young man. And yet next thing you know, he's sold into slavery. And next thing you know, he's in Potiphar's house. And next thing you know, he's in jail. And it may seem during so much of that stretch that everything that God had revealed to him in a dream was never going to come true. Lord, I love the Bible characters that just decided they were going to hope against hopelessness. And so, Lord, thank you for these stories and the reminders, Lord, that no matter what we're facing, you're still there and your promises are still true. May we exercise in this coming year great faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name.